Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
come this back to me. Your host, Wayne Bennett. Sorry about the technical problems. It's Russia. It's Elisha Cummins.
Is talking too far.
Joined by my co-host, Tommy Two Chips.
Elijah Cummings. Call him. That man has been in the news with the President Trump for days now.
That's in his district, nothing. His district, 50% poverty and garbage everywhere.
Hello?
Yes, we're still trying to get in contact with him. Let's do it.
Hello?
Yes, Wrestling X Factor Radio, Wayne Benitez.
Hey, what's going on?
Calling for, yes.
How you doing, Wayne?
This, I'm doing good. Welcome, Brawler Malonis, to Wrestling X Factor Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. So,
You're cutting out there, Wayne.
Technical difficulties. It must be Elijah Cummins. Let me... distracting me, the DNC. Let's try again.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey. About that, it's the night. The station.
I'm having a heck of a time hearing you.
Yes. What was it like?
Hey, Wayne, I can't hear a word you're saying. I'm not sure if you can hear me, but I can't hear a word you're saying.
I'll try again. Let's make some changes. Bro.
Hey, yeah, I'm still here. Hello?
Like I was saying, how was like working for Ring of Honor wrestling?
It's amazing. You know, I really enjoy my time there. It took me a long time to get there, but you know, I'm really happy and really lucky to be there.
Yes, and it seems like Ring of Honor set at the ground for tag team wrestling. So, and it seemed like other wrestling companies followed, basically rejuvenate the tag team division. Ring of Honor had so much, did a good job of bringing tag wrestling and six-man back. So,
yeah, I mean, when you think about, you know, when you think about like the Briscoe brothers, and I mean, the Young Bucks were there for a long time, and War Machine and the Addiction, and those are the guys that kind of set the table for those of us there now. When I think about us, the Kingdom, Coast to Coast, you know, Lifeblood, PCO, and Brody King, it's pretty cool, man. It's you know, I think we're the best tag team division in the world.
Major more stations for the honor to be on major sites. Also, it seemed like also it's like it's crazy now. So wrestling is new. So you know, wrestling coming, you know, but and through the networks also of me to get with Texas now, and it's Ring of Honor. It's thriving every year of improving their population and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time in wrestling right now, and Ring of Honor has just continued to grow and grow and grow. And, I mean, no better evidence than that than by selling out Madison Square Garden. And it's been a great year, and I think we're in for bigger and better things even, you know, as we continue through 2019 and into 2020. You know, it's a really exciting time to be into pro wrestling and a really exciting time to be with Ring of Honor. Hey, Wayne, you cut out there. I really can't hear a word you're saying, my friend.
Oh, okay. What is like being around Hunter Johnson, Booker's Ring of Honor?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of great people in Ring of Honor, and I'm just really fortunate to be around so many people that just have a great mind for wrestling. And I feel like every time I'm in that locker room, and I'm learning something new. And I've been at this for a long time, so to be able to be in an environment where I can still learn and better myself, it's incredible. So I'm just, again, really so lucky and so appreciative.
Yes, definitely. Any legends that you admire when you was growing up watching wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said it was anybody other than Hulk Hogan who got me into watching pro wrestling. I'm a child of the 80s, so, you know, Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper was what I grew up with, and Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, and So you know, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, that's the guy I looked up to. And you know, I think certainly there's some, you know, some of the big men in pro wrestling history that I've looked up to. You know, probably none more than the Big Boss Man, who I just thought was tremendous as a big man, and I really just come to appreciate him. You know, just because of how well he moved, and I like to try to pattern myself after him.
Yes, and he was very agile as Big Bubba Rogers and going into the Big Boss Man, basically. And it's like everyone actually believed in his him being a police officer, correctional officer, and it got over real big in the WWF during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely one of the most memorable characters of my childhood. And guy, like I said, I go back and watch today just because of how smooth he was, and somebody who I've probably stolen a lot from.
Yes, definitely. Also, what is like having a tag team partner like Bear City Bruiser?
Fun. Too much fun. You know, I think what you see is what you get with us. We're just a couple of big old boys who like to throw back some beer and have a good time. And, you know, Bruiser is, you know, one of my best friends, in my life right now. And he's just a great guy. And, you know, we hit it off right from the start. So we have a good time, you know, on the road and raising hell and both in and out of the ring, so I couldn't ask for a better tag team partner, really a better friend.
Yes. And I love the matches y'all had, even with New Japan talent like Evil and Sonata also. That was a definitely very good match also.
Thank you. I mean, it's an honor to step in the ring with guys like that. I mean, world-class talent. You know, we've wrestled them over here a couple times. So, I mean, hopefully we get to, you know, travel across the world and meet them on their home turf at some point.
Yes. And I noticed that Ring of Honor put over New Japan real good also. And it has more eyes also on New Japan also with Ring of Honor, basically, and that's a very good combination right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for everybody, you know, to be around, I think, the guys from New Japan, to be in the ring with them. It's been really great. I mean, for me to experience, you know, wrestling, you know, these different guys that I've been able to, and then just to be around, you know, I even think back to Madison Square Garden and being in the ring and going toe-to-toe with Minoru Suzuki and Jushin Thunder Liger. I mean, a couple of just absolute legends in this wrestling, in the wrestling business. So, yeah, it's tremendous. And hopefully, I'll get a chance to, you know, me and the Bruiser will get a chance to go over to New Japan and show what we're all about over there.
Yes. Definitely, yes. Also, what was it like having your first ever debut match in the wrestling business?
It was a dream come true. It was on a small little show, probably, you know, 50 people in the audience. And, you know, I wrestled a guy that nobody's ever heard of, and he's a real good guy. I'm still friendly with him today, but yeah, it was, you know, for me at that point, it was really a dream come true and something that I had dreamed about since I was a little boy.
Awesome. What was it like working with Chris Hero in a singles match?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about from Beyond Wrestling. Yeah, I mean, Chris Hero is, to this one of the best I've ever stepped in the ring with. It was unbelievable. A guy who I never thought I'd get the opportunity to wrestle. So I loved my time in Beyond Wrestling. I actually really miss wrestling at Beyond Wrestling, but just with my crazy schedule and everything, just not possible these days. But to have been able to wrestle a guy like Chris Hero, who is just one of the best wrestlers of this generation, was amazing. It was truly amazing.
Yes, it is. Definitely amazing. Definitely amazing guy also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Also, was like working with the Kingdom also.
Yeah, I mean they're a heck of a combination, and I mean one of the top factions in Ring of Honor history. To go toe to toe with them, especially because you're talking about all three guys in the Kingdom, Taven, Vinny, and TK. I've known all these guys for almost since all of them started. I've known them. We all come from New England. From that respect, it's pretty cool that we're locking horns in Ring of Honor.
Yes, they definitely amazing, and I definitely like their heel persona also.
yeah, man, they really are. When you think about all they've accomplished in Ring of Honor, I mean, really, again, amongst the top in the history of the company. And, I may not like what they've done to us recently, but you can't deny what they've accomplished. And, good for them. And hopefully we can knock them down a peg and take their spot.
Awesome. Yes, we are joined by our co-host, Tommy Two Chips.
Hey.
Hey, what's
Wayne?
Up?
Yes.
Finally glad to be on the show tonight. And, brother, nice to hear from you.
Yes, likewise.
I am a fan of Ring of Honor, and I hope one day you and your partner become tag team champions. My question for you is, what do you think Ring of Honor is doing wrong, and what are they doing right? Because right now they're considered the second or third wrestling company right now in the United States. What can they do to get the talent over more and be more popular?
I think for us, it's just keep plugging along, and that's what Ring of Honor's always done. I mean, with all due respect to the guys, in the elite and the tremendous stars and tremendous wrestlers and guys who I looked up to when I first got to Ring of Honor and was fortunate enough to wrestle. But I mean, Ring of Honor has lost big stars all along the way, and it just keeps plugging on and going on. So I think what does the company do right? I think they do a lot of things right. And we just sold out Madison Square Garden. We get a platform every week on TV. We have a tremendous streaming service and Honor Club that, fans can, see everything we do. There are no, quote unquote house shows like back in the day. That everything we do is live and broadcast to the world to see. So I think from that standpoint, it's exciting. I mean, WWE isn't even doing that. WWE isn't showing you all their live events. Ring of Honor does. Each and every time we're in the ring, it's broadcast live on Honor Club. So I think, for Ring of Honor, let's just keep plugging away. Let's just keep, let's just keep taking on the naysayers. People want to write us off, but, I'll argue that Ring of Honor is just as good as it's ever been. And, like I said, we definitely lost, some really great talent. But when I look around that locker room, I still see Jay Lethal. I still see the Briscoe brothers. And that tells me we're going to be just fine.
You mentioned the Honor Club. I've been subscribed to the Ring Honor Club for almost a year. And I saw the G1 Supercard in Madison Square Garden this year. It was one of the best pay-per-views I've seen. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was great, and it's this collaboration between New Japan and Ring of Honor, and it was tremendous. And you know, 17,000 people, you know, in Madison Square Garden, first wrestling company probably since I think the 40s or 50s to go into Madison Square Garden other than WWE. So it's, you know, it's something, man. It's a really great time to be with Ring of Honor. It's a really great time to be in the wrestling business because it's exploding.
And do you think that Ring of Honor will do more things with New Japan? I know you, Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro are still working. You know, they're still doing, and they have a partnership. Do you think they will go back to Madison Square Garden next year, or it's too early to say?
You know, I really don't know. You know, I don't know what the future holds as far as like a big arena show like Madison Square Garden, or you know what, you know, really what, you know, WWE has, you know, got its exclusivity back. I don't really know how that works, but I do think we're going to continue to grow. You know, I think we're going to continue to push forward and continue to grow. You know, whether that's Madison Square Garden or just you know still selling out the Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah, I think there's a lot of eyeballs on Ring of Honor and what we do, and you know, I would expect that the growth of this company will just continue into the next year.
Yes, it definitely will continue. Basically, it's just like any other like sports team that you know that lose top talent, they start rebuilding and they get better and much better right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a matter of having, you know, it's having the right talent in place. And I mean, everybody sustains losses. You know, the biggest wrestling company in the world sustains losses, and you got to keep plugging along, you got to keep chugging along. And you know, I think we got the horses to continue to be one of the top wrestling companies in the world and still produce the best wrestling show in the entire world.
What are your thoughts on intergender wrestling matches? And if you had a choice to wrestle with a female wrestler or against a female wrestler, who would it be?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, it's something where I think it's an opportunity to break down stereotypes or gender gaps. And, you know, I think of the fact that I have a little girl and damn right, I want her looking up to, you know, if she's going to watch wrestling, I want her to see, you know, these positive, strong women that represent wrestling now. And you know, I think intergender wrestling is an interesting thing. And, I don't know if it'll ever be, you know, a mainstream pro wrestling thing. I don't know. I mean, hopefully, you know, those barriers will be broken down someday, and it can be. But, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing. And anytime that we can go ahead and show the young women of this country that, you know, that they're just as good as any man, if not better, I think that's a wonderful, positive thing. Again, especially being a dad of a little girl, to have like these strong women. And I think of how the women were treated in pro wrestling when I was growing up. And, you know, again, now being a dad, you know, I would never want my daughter to ever see some of the horrible things from, you know, years past and the way women were treated and presented in pro wrestling. And now I'm proud to let her watch the women compete in pro wrestling in these days, especially the Women of Honor division. I mean, I guess I guess I'm a little biased, but if I had to fight alongside somebody, I'll fight alongside Kelly Klein, you know, mm-hmm. You know, she's a badass. Yeah. She's a badass, man. You know, she's a Woman of Honor champion, for a reason. I can't say I have any strong, as far as like opinion on like who I'd want to wrestle, you know, I'd wrestle anybody. You know, and I think we'd have a great match, an entertaining match. And, you know, like I said, just I'm really proud of how far the pro wrestling business has come when it comes to the presentation of strong women in our business, because we need that. You know, little girls who watch this product need to have role models that they can identify with, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, that is true. We definitely need more of it, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Right on, man.
Yes.
How do you feel about the balance between wrestling and too much talking? Like, you know, some companies, you know, some, you know, emphasize like talking, not enough wrestling. And, but there's some companies that wrestle, but they don't do enough talking. So you right. being in the business, do you prefer the wrestling side, you know, seeing the wrestling side, or do you prefer the promo storyline stuff more? Or do you think
well,
it
you
needs
know,
to be an even balance?
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, I think you're hitting right. I think it's going to be a balance. I think there should be a great balance. You know, I think back to, you know, you think some, you know, think back to some of the great promo guys in history. You think back to some of the great wrestling television programs, and you think about even, you know, like WCW Saturday Night, and you think of all the Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes promos that those featured, and those being the most memorable things from, you know, from that. You know, I definitely, you know, you watch pro wrestling to watch pro wrestling, but at the same time, it, you know, you want to hear guys talk and be compelling. I don't know that I need 25-minute promos, but I think wrestling's always been built on ticket sales. Have always been built on issues. You know, when I say issues, I mean storylines or feuds or however you want to describe it. And then literally guys who could talk people into the building. You're talking Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, later years The Rock, Steve Austin. They literally talk people into the building. So I think it's got to be a balance. I think if And I think sometimes that balance gets out of whack. You know, sometimes it's too heavy. You know, it's too heavy with the promos and the talking. But I think it's something where when there's a good balance and there's guys who can do it and do it well, it's a beautiful thing.
I don't know if you're familiar with James Cornette, but James Cornette has a podcast and it's consistently on YouTube. Talking about how the business has changed in certain ways. He is saying that he criticized wrestlers like Joey Janela, you know, other wrestlers like AEW for not doing the business right. What do you think it means to do the business right?
I think and I don't want to sound like I'm disrespecting somebody who has forgotten more about pro wrestling than I'll ever know. Because I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jim Cornette, and everything he's done for wrestling, everything he means to wrestling, and for all his contributions. But at the same time, I think he has a very narrow view of what he thinks pro wrestling should be. And to me, that is very, very, very 1980s Southern style wrestling, which, you know, I still think there's a place for some of that, but at the same time, I think it's evolved as all forms of entertainment. And I think the beautiful thing about wrestling is there should be something for everybody. You know, I know he really rails against Joey Ryan and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and hey man, you know, Joey Ryan has carved out a niche for himself and made a lot of money. And this business is, you know, sorry to burst anybody's bubble who thinks about more or less, but it's about making money. And Joey Ryan's made a lot of money for what he's done. Joey Ryan's a tremendous wrestler and a tremendous entertainer. And I know Cornette goes after him, but I spent enough time around Joey Ryan to tell you, I think he's a hell of a guy too. And, you know, I just think it's somebody who just has a very strong opinion on what they feel wrestling should be and a very narrow mind to do it. And I think sometimes you got to be open-minded. And again, the beautiful thing about pro wrestling in 2019 is that there is something for everybody. If you don't like a particular form of wrestling, a particular company, it's the one thing that drives me nuts the most when fans complain about pro wrestling. There is so much of it. If you don't like WWE, watch Ring of Honor. You know what
right.
I mean? Like you can turn on, you know, you can find whatever it is that you like. You know, whatever style it is that you like, you can find that and watch it. There is an unlimited – quantity of pro wrestling for fans to take in. And here's the other thing too, it's all opinions. You know, everybody, it's very subjective. And, you know, what you like, I might not like. What I like, you might not like. But, you know, at the same time, there's enough pro wrestling that you like to find and enjoy, and I can find the stuff that I enjoy, and I think we can watch that, and it's all going to be okay. I think it's something where, you know, I guess if I was going to say anything, Jim Cornette, just lighten up a little bit, man. It's entertainment. It's subjective, and you know, you like what you like, but that doesn't necessarily mean because you have an opinion on something that you are right. It's an opinion, and nothing more.
Right. Yes, you're right about wrestling. You're right about wrestling being for everybody. Yeah. There's like wrestling for like particular style of wrestling. Like wrestling so widespread now. You go on YouTube. You see stuff from Japan, see stuff from Mexico. If you don't like, you know, WWE stuff, like you said, right? There's some kind of wrestling for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that.
Right on. It's something where you think of the history of pro wrestling in this country, and a form of entertainment like this, and you think of the diversity that exists in the pro wrestling crowd. Being a fan growing up, and then seeing it. From the performer's aspect, the diversity and inclusiveness in mm-hmm. pro wrestling crowds is unlike anything I've ever seen. It's like a community. It's like, you know, as crazy as it sounds, we have fans in Ring of Honor who we literally see in every city we go into, the same fans who travel around and follow us. And it's like a fellowship. It's like this bond that they have with us and have with each other. So I think it's for everybody, man, and it's for everybody to come together. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you like, it doesn't matter, what your upbringing is. When you come together, you come together and you all love pro wrestling, and it's an awesome thing.
Yes, that's true also, yes. Amazing that just like an art, And with Joey Ryan, and he just set a record also for 3.8 million viewers on YouTube in 30 minutes, I think.
Just to show you again, I mean, it might not be for everybody, but there's people who enjoy it, and that's fine. Not everybody I've seen people. Not everybody likes the Young Bucks. Not everybody likes Roman Reigns. Not everybody likes Jay Lethal. But again, that's the beautiful thing about wrestling. There's so much of it and so much diversity in the art form that go find what you like and enjoy it. Because if you're sitting there and you're watching something that makes you miserable, like why? Why? Life is short and precious, and this is something that's supposed to entertain us and have fun with this. At the end of the day, wrestling, not only for the fans but for the performers as well, it's supposed to be fun. And if it's something you're not having fun watching, why are you watching it? Turn on something else. You know, hopefully it's still pro wrestling, but there's so much of it out there. Find something you like and watch that. You know.
Definitely. It's a lot also. Even with the documentaries now on Viceland also of wrestling also. Their stories of old school wrestling like World Class or like wrestlers like Bruiser Brody or stories of, you know, indie wrestlers, how they got into the business and it's just amazing. It's a lot of content now, a lot of alternatives.
There's an unlimited amount of content out there, and I think about as a kid. You know, I grew up, and I don't know how old you fellas are, but I'm 37, so I'm a child of the 80s and early 90s, and I could watch wrestling on Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and Saturday night, and then prime time on Monday night, and that was it. And if I missed it, I couldn't go back and watch it on on DVR and all this stuff, man. If I had the WWE Network or Honor Club when I was a kid, like and YouTube, I would never left the house. I would have never gotten a thing accomplished in my entire life because I just would have been watching wrestling 24/7.
Yes, definitely. Saturday morning was a good time of wrestling, watching Wrestling Challenge, WWF Wrestling Challenge, worldwide, the NWA, the Crockett's promotion. It was amazing, superstars of wrestling, and then, of course, on Monday, primetime wrestling also. That got me, you know, I enjoyed Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon doing all the wrestling also.
Yeah, I mean that's the voices of my childhood, you know, and I think of that, and that's the era of wrestling that just made me fall in love with, you know, absolutely fall in love with wrestling from the time I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and you know, just being enamored with it, and so much so that I decided to, you know, pursue a career in it. So it's, you know, when I think about the things I've been able to accomplish the last couple of years and over the last 17 years, that, you know, I think, you know, 8-year-old me would be pretty impressed and pretty happy, you know, that, you know, we've gotten to live our dream, and, you know, I'm just eternally grateful for the opportunities that I've gotten, and, you know, to be able to live my dream. Not everybody gets to say that. So, you know, I realize how fortunate and how lucky I am.
That's definitely good times, even with pro wrestlers on late night talk shows like City Hall that the WWF did also, and it went over well also with Rick Rude on there, Hogan or Bad News Brown, or even Boss Man with Slick and Akeem. It was just classic also.
Yeah, man, great stuff. This is all, you know. Yeah, I mean, these are all my childhood memories, and it's, again, the little things that made me fall in love with it, and, you know, it's fun now to show it to, you know, my son is 3, but he absolutely loves wrestling, so it's fun now to share, you know, to share all that old stuff I watched growing up and show it to him and kind of watch him fall in love with it just like I did once upon a time, so it's pretty cool, man.
As a wrestling fan, when you were growing up, did you ever find yourself defending wrestling? Because when I was a kid, I had to defend wrestling from people who don't understand it. Because, you know, when they call wrestling, you know, the F word, which I'm not going to use, full letter word, that rhymes with rake, that would get me so irritated. And I was like, no. And then, I'll be honest with you, being a fan today, my people still say that. It still gets me irritated. And I just go it just sets me off. Now, when you were young, did you have to defend yourself for being a wrestling fan, or were you, like, in a closet wrestling fan?
You know, it's funny. It's one of those things where I think everybody knew me as, like, the wrestling kid or whatever, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of people who talked about it with, you know, talked about it with. So, but, yeah, I think there's a lot of people, oh, that stuff's all fake, which is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and the stupidest thing is that still exists today. Oh, that's
right.
Fake wrestling stuff. But then these same dummies will go on and argue about online about Game of Thrones or, you know, the zombie show, whatever, Walking Dead, whatever the hell it is. Like, you know, they'll sit there and they'll tell you how stupid and fake wrestling is, but then they're talking about fake zombies and, you know, and dragons and stuff. And it's like, well, that stuff's fake. So I don't know. Just, you know, let people just enjoy things. You know, just because you don't enjoy something doesn't give you the right to look down your nose at it. There's lots of things that I don't enjoy, but you know what? I understand that there are people that do, and, teach their own, you know, but the whole, oh, wrestling is fake and stuff, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, whatever, if that's your justification for not watching it, that's fine, but I guarantee these people who say that, and probably the loudest ones, probably are the ones that turn it on when nobody's looking.
Oh, yeah. Probably right.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for, you know, I really appreciate you having me on. You know, I saw the list of guests that you've had in the past, so I definitely feel, you know, honored and privileged, you know, to be on and talk some wrestling with you. And you'll have to bring me back sometime, maybe after me and Bruiser win the tag team titles. You know, maybe I'll have to come on again and talk about it.
Why not? I'll be awesome right there.
Hell yeah.
Cool, man. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, thank you again. Just want to thank you guys for, you know, for having me on. And I truly, truly appreciate it. And, you know, I'll come talk wrestling with you guys anytime.
Thank you, sir.
Nope. No problem. Yes, it's an honor. You can come back anytime, Umbrella, to the show. You and the Bruiser, he's an alumni to the show also.
Very cool. So, well, thank you guys. And, you know, like I said, I'll come back and talk wrestling with you guys anytime, especially after being Bruiser become the World Tag Team Champs. You guys have a good one, all right?
All right.
Take
have
care.
A good night.
Take
all
care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Brawler Malonus. Yes, we have a lot of archives here at Wrestling X Factor Radio, and you can check out this also once the audio be ready. It be right up on blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingX Factor Radio. Or Stetcher.com, Facebook fan page at Wrestling It Factor Radio /It Factor Entertainment Radio for archives there as well. Or check out group page at Wrestling It Factor Radio also. For Wayne Benitez and Tommy Two Chips, we're out later.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.